It's the full dip, 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 Tonnet's Breakfast!
Oh, hello! Yes, it is, it's the full Tonnet's Breakfast. So welcome all of you Totnesians and those living in Dartington, gorgeous Dartington and gorgeous Totnes, and anyone else who's listening downstairs in their kitchen and unloading the shopping that's just been delivered. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Today on the programme we have poet and cat magician Yacella Sims. So I'm really looking forward to, a chat with her. And we'll be listening to the dulcet tones of Susie David, who comes across a real live goddess coming out of the sea. Are you doing the yoga moves to this? I hope so. That's Golden Phone, which we'll be using at 8:20 to get poet Yacella Sims on the line with us. That's Mikashu and the Shapes. Oh. That was very Sound Art Radio, didn't you think? I loved it. Absolutely fabulous. Here's a little bit of the full Totnes breakfast. See, that's the full Totnes breakfast. You've tuned in on 102.5 FM. It is true, isn't it? It's 102.5 FM, Sound Art Radio. Sarah Louise Connolly told us last night on her Facebook page that if you have animals, a good way to manage any anxiety for those animals is to tune into Classic FM tonight between the hours of 6 and 10. They have a specially chosen music of a calming nature tonight and tomorrow night. So thank you, Sarah Louise Connolly, for putting that flag up. So if you've got any cats or dogs who are nervous, or in fact, if you've got a new pet in the home and you're not quite sure how they're going to respond to the sound of fireworks, then that's a jolly good idea. And I have to say, honestly, strangely, I hadn't seen that. But what happened, it was a real life situation with trousers. Our Griffin Bruxelles, who's only little, and he's, I think last year there was a lockdown, so we didn't actually have fireworks. So this is the first time he's heard a firework. And last night I was sitting with him and some fire winks went off. And he did not like it. He really did not like it at all. He was most upset. So I went on to Google and I found some. It's called Calm Sound, and they're actually firework sounds. And when I played them and he could see it was coming from the computer, he was like, "Oh, is that what it is, Mum? Oh, them noises." This is it. And it were just this little soft bangs and boops. And actually, he didn't kick up. He was like, "Oh, it's like music, is it, Mum? Oh, it's just music. Oh, I'll say." So that's what you do. So you can go online and find these sounds that are already prepared for your pet. And it just gets them in the mood for realising that they needn't be afraid. But if your pet is really of a very nervous nature, then maybe you have to put earmuffs over there. I don't know. Here's Richard Burton with some Camelot.
The Crown has made it clear. The climate must be perfect all the year. A law was made a distant moon ago here. July and August cannot be too hot. And there's a legal limit to the snow here in Camelot. The winter is forbidden till December, and exits March the 2nd on the dot. By order, summer lingers through September in Camelot. Camelot, Camelot, I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but in Camelot, Camelot, that's how conditions are. The rain may never fall till after sundown. By 8 the morning fog must disappear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot for happily ever aftering than here in Camelot. I know it gives a person pause, but in Camelot, Camelot, those are the legal laws. The snow may never slush upon the hillside. By 9 p.m. the moonlight must appear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot for happily ever aftering.
Richard Burton with Camelot. You know we're having a party, don't you? This is a party. This is the Friday Yusella Sims party, because she'll be coming on with a cat. Well, no, we're not allowed. Well, we are, but we're not. We could be. I don't know. Should we? She's always on the BBC talking about her cat. So we said we'd ban the cat. But we can't. Susie David, can you help?
Hello, I've come down to the beach and it's beautifully flat today. It's very sunny, well, this morning, and the tide's just going out. And I've just found a real life mermaid. Real life mermaid. She just came out of the water for a little bit, so I'm just interviewing her. And I'm going to ask her what it is about swimming in the water that she likes so much.
Hi. So, what am I doing here? So I've just come out. I've just had a swim, and because I thought I'd better go and do some work, which for me is painting, and drawing, and I just feel that this swim, this cold water, sunshine, beautiful landscape. It's just as if somebody's giving you all the tools you need to make something. Somehow you're refreshed, you can feel your organs. They feel chilled and ready to go. And it's just wonderful. So it gets to feel, you get it, it's a bit addictive, and I get to feel that each time I start a bit of work, I need this kind of beginning.
Lovely. Thank you, mermaid. And
For some reason it keeps cut. Oh, I think that's it. Susie David, thank you for interviewing Frances Jin. And thank you for your report from the sea, the wonderful sea. Here we go. A little bit of sound art again. We're just doing jingles galore. That wasn't the jingle I wanted. It was this one. This is it.
Live again, no weekday breakfast, $7, 102.5 FM, 102.5 FM.
There you go. You see, we've had so much fun. Martin is mad about jingles, and then we've got Di Levy doing her traffic jingle, and we have Vince Idden doing the sound art jingle. Actually, if we'd have continued, we would probably have 497,000 jingles. And Sound Art Radio, Chris and Lucinda would say, can't you actually do anything but jingles? And we'd say, no, that's all we can do. It's too late.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we've just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it, something inside has died, and I can't hide, and I just can't fake it. Oh, no, no. It used to be so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to do. Now you look so unhappy, and I feel like a fool. And it's too
the rather wonderful Carole King. Just preparing us really for Martin Seeger coming up now with the weather. Time for that moment that you've all been waiting for. What's the weather, right? Okay. What's the weather? What's the weather? Whether I should go out with a pair of underpants on my head. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's with Carole King.
Yeah, I can hear her in the background there.
Bye,
good
Carole.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I've just been rescuing the dogs. I'd left some foil on the side.
Oh, no.
And, you know, they're a bit of a double axe because Ralph's a very big dog. So he jumped up, grabbed the foil.
Oh, no.
And, of course, the little one, he's not interested in foil. He grabbed it and the little one was chewing it up in the bed. I mean, he'd only done it for about 30 seconds.
Oh, God.
No, it's all right.
That could have been dangerous.
It could have been, no. He'd only done it for a few seconds. Anyway, I've rescued them. But, yes, time for some weather. Cloudy and milder today, which is good. It's freezing yesterday, isn't it? Wasn't it? But most places staying dry. So, and it's looking very nice at the minute, I think. It says a few showers for Devon and Cornwall first thing, but otherwise it'll be a dry day with a mixture of cloud and bright or sunny spells. Feeling slightly milder with winds continuing to slowly ease. Maximum temperature 13 degrees. That doesn't sound very warm to me, but it's certainly warmer than yesterday. And it will be cloudy overnight. But yeah, okay. So there we go.
Is that the weather?
That's the weather.
Well, we like the weather. And it's Friday. It's market day. So they'll be really pleased with that. we have gone mad. No, it's time for the jingle of jingles. Di Levy, where are you? Oh, Di, are you okay? She's just getting her makeup on. Here she comes. Di, come on. Quick, hurry.
Well, no reports of anything out there at the moment, but it is Friday, so I'm sure it's very busy. So look out for the usual hotspots. And it's market day, as Julia just said, so it's going to be quite crowded in Totnes today. That's all I've got for you.
Thank you for that traffic. I always like it because I think if we lived in London, you'd be inundated with this, that and the other. And, you know, somebody's horse and cart broken down on the stony old road of Oxford. And God knows what. But actually, because we're here in Totnes, it's all very convivial and people doff their cap as they ride by on their bicycle. Isn't that correct? Is that true? Now, before our fantastic poet of poetic license fame comes on, let's have a bit of Sliding Doors, eh? This is a bit of music from Sliding Doors, wasn't it?
Hide, you seek whatever you find. You keep, I can stay here in the dark. I can keep on my mask, but you're so near, so near. It's got so clear, so clear. You find you keep, you can stay here in the
Nilufer Yanya and Sliding Doors, which came from the film with Gwyneth Paltrow, which we actually watched the other night. It was actually really brilliant. It has not aged. It's great. It's that time, isn't it, to ring the poet, to get poetic license. Thanks to Martin Seeger for all the weather and traffic news. Let's get her on the blower, for goodness sake. It's time, it's Friday, we're having a party, right? It's a bit early, but it's okay. Uh-oh. Oh, hello, there you are. Let me just click off this music. Good morning, this is 102.5 FM. Sound Art Radio, the Full Totnes Breakfast Show. We are over the moon to have you on our programme. You say morning, oh, then.
Good morning. I'm afraid I haven't brought the sunshine.
Don't you worry. Tell us where you're located, just so everyone can picture it.
So, I'm in Sanford, which is just a couple of miles north of Crediton, just outside Exeter.
Okay. And now I did promise you that I wouldn't mention the cat, but I can't help myself because you told me that very vital bit of information. You say, well, once a year, the BBC ring me and they say, how's the cat? And you've whetted my appetite and I've got to, the nosy person inside of me has to hear the story. Sorry.
Well, I think I've probably built it up too much. But yeah, I think they have a gap in their schedule sort of around January and they go, oh, get that woman on again. She'll tell us about her cat. So, so basically we relocated from the southeast down to the southwest about 7 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. And in the first move, when we moved up in the southeast, we moved from one house to one village to the next, and in that process we lost one of our cats. And you know what it's like when you lose a cat, you sort of just spend all of your time thinking, is that where they are, are they dead, are they alive? Mm. When you see something when you're driving down the road, you think, is that the cat? So anyway, we did that for a while, then we moved down here and thought we'd never see her again. We moved various places around the West Country and then landed in Sanford here a couple of years ago. We just decided we definitely wouldn't get a cat. We had we did have a cat who passed away, and we thought, right, now we've moved here and we're gardening for wildlife, we won't get a cat. I mean, you know, blow me. I then get an email from the RSPCA in Chobham saying, oh, we've got your cat. Can you come and get your cat? Like, what? So this was six, she'd been missing for 6 years.
That's incredible,
so
isn't it?
I rang my husband and my son, and it was a bit like someone coming back from the dead. Like, the cat's come back.
Oh,
anyway, we did a dash up to Surrey, got the cat. People said, oh, did she recognise you? And I thought, I'm not sure she recognised us, and she was she definitely hadn't been sort of starved while she'd been away. She was a very large lady, and I think she'd found basically a nice old lady who'd fed her sardines and cream. So she didn't look like she'd been neglected in any way. She'd been living under a bush for the last 6 weeks. I think, I don't know what had happened, but she turned up in someone's garden. They'd been feeding her, and then realised that they couldn't carry on, taking her to the to Chobham RSPCA, and they of course read the microchip, because she's had a microchip. She's a brilliant advert for microchips. So
true.
They read the microchip and went, oh look, this cat belongs to somebody. So yes, there was much sort of local and, I have to say, national media interest in the cat, which didn't in the end turn to anything. We did have a photographer from a national press agency who came and took terrible photos of me with trying to pin this really nervous cat onto my lap and just looking, both of us looking fairly stricken. We got, people rang us up in Surrey saying, we heard about the cat on the radio. I bumped into people at work in the days when we used to go into the office, and in the kitchen they go, oh yes, I saw on Facebook, on the RSPCA Facebook page, about your cat. Everyone knew about the cat, basically.
Famous.
And then we got bumped the next day. So I was expecting, like, okay, this is going to be very exciting. We're going to be in the national press. We got bumped by somebody's cat who'd been missing for 10 years. wasn't in the spotlight, although, you know, she did feature, you know, on local radio. And I did, as I say, get a phone call from BBC Radio Devon, had a nice chat with, I can't remember the name for the presenter. And then, as I say, you know, the following year, they rang me up and asked me to tell them about it all over again. So here she is again, hogging the limelight. The cat went missing for 6 years, and now she's back, and she's very much back. She's an absolute pain. I do love her, but she hauls in squirrels from the garden.
No
just
way.
And leaves their body.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, she's, yes, okay. Well, let's say
she's a delight. She'll come sit on your chest in the evening, and then she's a dribbler. So she dribbles and then she shakes, so it lands on your face.
She sounds gorgeous, honestly.
No, she really isn't. She has been known to pee in the shower. I'm like, why has this cat come back to haunt me?
That is such a funny story. You know, you have to write. You have
Would
to
you
write.
Like a cat, really?
No, I've got two, thank you. And one of them, Teapot, wakes us up about 2 or 3 in the morning every single night. And I am not joking. Even if we close the door with him, you know, that's the barrier. He is so clever. He knocks like a human on the handle, and it's like, you know, sort of bang, 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 bang. So no, he's gorgeous, but he's trouble. And I identify with you. But now we have to...
I think our cat is far more intelligent than our dog, who will stand at an open door and look at you and yip to say, could you please open the door? Cooper, I think you can probably manage it. I mean, the cat is far cleverer than the dog, definitely.
You've got a dog called Cooper?
Cooper, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a mannequin in the bathroom who's called Cooper with a toilet roll on his head. So we have a lot... We've already got a lot in common. Now, I need to know...
Your mannequin is probably a little bit brighter than our dog, who also I love. I sound like I don't love my animals. I do, but he's not very bright.
We have to have... The party must start, the poetry party. Tell me about your connection with poetry. Have you always been involved in the spoken word?
I think I've probably always written poetry. And then I started studying through the Open University, and one of my many midlife crises, and did a creative writing course, and I did a poetry module with the brilliant poet John McCulloch. He was the tutor, and he really encouraged me, and I really fell in love with poetry, and so I sort of always practiced it. And then after we moved down to Devon, I had another midlife crisis, and went back to studying full time, and went to Plymouth and did a master's. And one of the modules on that was poetry, and out of that I wrote a collection of poems about. I always write. I think that writing always helps me work out how I feel about things. Mm. So I think I don't really know what I think until I write it down. So we'd moved, for various reasons, to somewhere completely different. We didn't know anybody or anything. We both lived in the same place up in Surrey, just moving up and down the same valley for sort of the best part of sort of 45 years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we just uprooted ourselves and took ourselves down to this remote peninsula down in West Devon. And it was a really beautiful landscape. It was really wild and sort of rugged, but it was quite isolated. And writing that collection of poetry, which I did for my course, really helped me to work out, you know, really helped me to work out how I felt about the move, and it helped me get to know where I was living. I interviewed lots of sort of the local residents and heard their stories, and I put those into poems, and I tried to sort of preserve some of the dialect, because in that little pocket there was still there were little pockets of people still sort of speaking bits of dialect, which were really beautiful. And I wrote about the countryside. I walked the whole peninsula and sort of really listened to the sounds and looked and absorbed, and then I wrote a collection of poetry, and sort of I'm in there as well. It's sort of about me coming to terms with it, but also about the landscape and the effect that it has on you. So and then I moved up to near Exeter after living down in West Devon for a couple of years, and discovered the spoken word scene. And I remember somebody coming to us to do a presentation when I was at uni in Plymouth, and they said, that they thought the bravest poets were people that went to open mics and just stood up and sort of shared their work. And I thought, this sounds scary but fun. And obviously moved to Exeter, and there's such a brilliant scene, isn't there? I mean, yes. I've discovered Spork and taking the mic, yeah. And it sounds a bit cliche, but I found a family. I found, you know, friends. I found a community. And it really, I feel far more at home and rooted now sort of through poetry and through the people that I've met. And it's just sort of gone from strength to strength. And I set up an open mic myself with a friend that I've gone to uni with in the village in Sanford. And that sort of developed and sort of turned into something else as well. So, yeah, poetry, I think, is really important. I think I really like to encourage other people to write, because I do think that it can really help us. We live in such weird times, don't we? And I think, you know, we do turn to poetry to help us make sense of the world, and also to sort of see ourselves and to connect with other people.
Definitely. And recently you actually had a workshop with a brilliant poet who came from London. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the workshop and also the evening gig that you sorted out?
Oh, I was so pleased that happened. I follow Jacqueline Safra. I love her work. So I've got two favourite poets, probably sort of contemporary poets, Jacqueline Safra and Liz Berry. And so I'm a bit of a fangirl of both of them. So I follow them on social media. And Jacqueline just... she'd been writing a series of lockdown sonnets that all the way through from the first lockdown to the end of the, how many did we have in the end, three? She wrote one a day, and she's published them in a collection of lockdown sonnets. So anyway, I was following her on social media, and she said, oh, I'm just putting it out there, universe, I'd love to do a poetry gig. And I went, oh, would you come and do one for a poetic license? And then went away and thought, oh, hang on a minute, she probably charges. That's probably going to be one. I've just been sort of really naive and gone, yes, can you come down to little old Sanford? Anyway, she was very lovely, and she said that she would, and she would do me a workshop, and she'd do a reading. And it was a case of just getting on, marketing it, trying to make it happen. We had a bit of help from Sanford Community Association, who gave us a bit of funding to help make it happen as well. And it was just wonderful. It was such a special day, really. She came down from London specially. She stayed with us. I know you've done similar things, Julie. Yeah. I'm just riding on your coattails here. She stayed with us. We had a fantastic workshop at Bindi Sayward's new creative space, which I mentioned last week. It's called The White Room. I'm crediting. She sort of renovated an old industrial unit and made it into this sort of shared creative space. So there were probably half a dozen of us in the end, because, you know, as I said, we live in uncertainty.
Yeah.
To cancel for various reasons, but we had a lovely group, and she really got us to think about form and creativity, and it was all themed on children and their, and you know, there's such a rich sort of mine there to seam, isn't it? So we had a fantastic workshop, and then went off to the Lamb in the evening, which is in Sanford. And it was just really lovely. She read, Veronica Aronson read, Chrissy Banks, Hélène Dimitriadis, I think I'm saying that right, and Chris White, and I read as well. And it was just really lovely. I had so much nice feedback from people saying, do you know what, I didn't think I like poetry, I don't usually come to poetry, but you know, this looks good, and I really enjoyed it. And people were just sort of glowing with it. I think it was a really lovely evening of connection, and I think we all got a lot from it. So yeah, I'm planning to do more. I thought, you know, we're just sort of dipping our toe in the water, aren't we, all of us, how people want to go back or don't want to go back, and what people are comfortable with. So it was very small. We had about 20 people probably, and about 6 people in the workshop. But, you know, we had ventilation and all of the things that you have to do. But, I think we all got a lot from it. It was fantastic.
It's so good that you've done that. And, you know, I think it's inspiring as well, because I remember being in Edinburgh and a chap coming up to me saying, oh my goodness, my son has dragged me along here. I don't normally come to poetry. I have loved what you've done here at the Pleasance Theatre in Edinburgh, and I was just almost, you know, I was like, wow. If it's just that one person that can change a whole outlook and think, I really want to continue doing this. Because as you've already said, poetry, it really helps you to investigate, if you like, the sort of channels inside of yourself. And for those out there who are listening to this program, you know, it's just about a permission, giving yourself a permission to actually have a little read of other poets around and about in various anthologies and books, and then, you know, just maybe ignite something inside of yourself and start. But we must have some of your poetry, Yesela, otherwise people would be saying, what happened? She came on the program but she didn't share anything. So we've done your cat, that your cat took the limelight, but now you've got to take the cream. So can we hear some of your poems, please?
Oh, that's so kind of you. Yes, I think a lot of my sort of recent poetry is probably a little bit dark for breakfast time. So I'll do a couple of poems from you. The collection I mentioned that, yeah, I wrote about the move to West Devon. Is that okay?
Please, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Okay. So this is called Green Sand. You built your home on green sand, chalk ridged and sister hilled, dreaming over again your family's songlines in bluebell copses and sun-striped beechwoods. But you shook your roots, tapped and feathered, trailed them west to where the air was Easter scented, and you were 5 years old again, making miniature gardens from moss, pushing forget-me-nots and primroses into stolen egg cups. In the river-bound valley, you hear trees, vellumed by moss, rise up to speak to the light, fern-shrouded and whispering in the primal dark. You find the flowers of your girlhood in the swerve of the lanes, sound out their echoes, begin to gather new songs.
Beautiful, Yesela. That's absolutely amazing.
Oh, did you like that?
I love the language. Absolutely. It was like the language of flowers. It was really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Can we hear some more poems?
Yes. Let's see. I'm going to do one that I always do, which is my favourite, and it's called I Am Turning Into All the Mothers, because I think as hard as any of us try, I think we all do in the end. So this is called I Am Turning Into All the Mothers. I am turning into all the mothers my younger self condemned, the ones that balked at journeys, heights, the world beyond the door. The diazepam rattlers, cake offerers, stomach ragers, sobbers. The confidence tricksters, told you sewers, nitpickers, frowners. The news tutters, jar scrapers, eavesdroppers, sighers. All those felled by their children's fingers, unpicking the strings.
Wow, that's fantastic.
You like that?
I love that.
Oh, so nice. Have I got time for one more?
Oh, please. More? Yeah, do. Mm.
I might do. I make a bit of a joke about this because this is a poem which is called Yesela, and it's basically, my parents found my name in a book of Cornish names. It's a Cornish name. It's and it actually means more modest, unpretentious. And so I always say, the irony is not lost on me that here I am reading a poem called Yesela, and you know, the meaning of my name is supposed to be unpretentious. And can you think of anything more pretentious than actually reading a poem named after yourself? So here we go. This is called Yesela. Plundered from names for the Cornish in the 70s by parents stopping to cook bacon and eggs on motorway verges, I searched for myself all my childhood amongst the Yvettes and Yvonnes of museum gift shops. Then, in the middle years, leaving Seaton's fag-butted sand for mournful loo, where crab lines snag seagulls from wind-rolled buckets. Isella swirls from the roadside in shining yellow, making me wonder why I've never shaped my name this way. I trace the letter's curve, telling me, like a pin on a map, you are here. And that's why the collection is called You Are Here. But I just remember driving, you know, I've never met anyone else called Isella.
No.
I've never seen it written anywhere. Hello?
Go ahead, yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry, can you not hear me?
You know what it is? Have you got a radio on with this going on in the background? I keep repeating,
no.
Oh, well, that's really strange. I think it's just something to do with our phone line. No, do you know, that? Carry on what you were saying. You were saying about your name. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sorry. I was just saying, I've just never met anyone else called Isella. You know, I did as a girl. I was always, you know, if you went to a museum, you went to a camp, campsite, you're always looking in shops. You always used to get pens, didn't you, with
yes.
people with your names on and things. I could never find my name. So then we moved down to the West Country, and blow me if we weren't just driving along a country lane one day. And there, it was a boutique selling ladies' clothes called Isella, and there was this big sign. I just couldn't believe it. So it was sort of a bit of a sort of epiphany moment for me. So it had
they clearly the universe was calling you. Oh, we have lost her. Ah, isn't that so strange? Just on the moment she was telling us about that epiphany moment. Can't even say the word. Now my computer's gone dead. No, it's all right. It's fine. We might get her back to sort of just say bye-bye to us. Let's have a little bit of something going on here. Little bit of Marilyn and Mount Kimby, Mikasa. We had Golden Phone, and that's the same band covering this particular song. We lost Gisella, but we're going to get her back just to say thank you, really. And to conclude, hang on a second, let's see if we have any luck. Hello? Hello? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Ah, now we got you back. I don't know what happened, but it's probably a case of Devon internet. But we had a wonderful time talking with you, Gisella, and hearing your poetry, which was absolutely... Do you know what? Actually, as you were saying your poetry, I thought, God, I'd love to paint to those words. There was something so inspiring. I thought, God, I'd love to do some paintings alongside a couple of your poems. So maybe we'll talk about that at a later date. But
Love that, Julie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really loved your work. Really, really love it. So thank you for the story of your arrival here in Devon and Poetic License, plus all the excitement that you're creating in the local area with poetry. And I'm sure it will grow from strength to strength. But thank you so much for being on the programme today.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Take good care now.
And you. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend.
And you too. Bye. What she doesn't know is I've got to contact her and say, can you send me a photograph for the podcast? Let's hear the rest of that. Martin Seeger will be back shortly with the What's On. And I bet there's loads of bonfires in the local area. Oh, in fact, isn't there a song?
It's called... true.
We've it's had true. You before. You can't come on
the
again.
Has made it clear. The climate must be
no,
perfect.
Let's have a bit of Radiohead and Optimistic until Martin comes back with his What's On. Little bit of Radiohead. It's a bit scary actually. And that was Optimistic. I'd like to hear their Pessimistic song if that's optimistic. So we'll just say goodbye to Radiohead. So we've had an alarming moment in the house. So this morning it seems that foil was eaten somehow. And now one of my paintbrushes has been demolished by Ralph. So clearly, and then the other day I put my little mittens on and lovely hero had redecorated them. So I hope that the chewing of a paintbrush doesn't turn him into Picasso. I think they need to get out for their early morning walk, which is one of the reasons that I won't be coming back for the duration of this year, at least, just to get them back out there to get rid of all that energy that they're obviously linking to paintbrushes, kitchen foil and my gloves, really. So we'll be seen at the beach doing the radio in dance form. I'm sure there'll be another fantastic programme coming on your way. Peter Shearn did a magnificent 2 years on the programme and very much time to hang the radio hat up, I think. And I'll probably come back in the guise of a banana in the new year. Who knows? Now, so what's on has, well, been canned, really, because of a paintbrush fiasco. So let us have a little bit of In Excess. Trousers is in the house. Trousers is in the house. He's back from his paintbrush fiasco. Let's hope that he can paint some proper pictures instead of the rubbish that he's been coming up with. Martin, was that just awful?
Well, it was a ex-paintbrush, let's be honest, and it's quite a big paintbrush. But he might be able to still use it. There's a few bristles and bits of wood around. And of course, the main worry is they may have swallowed a bit of it, but hopefully they haven't. They just sort of busy gnawing it when I got in there. Anyway, we're talking about current... what are we talking about? Not current affairs. What's on? Anyway, yes. So today, of course, is Friday and there's loads of fireworks going on. So I won't actually dwell on those. There are bonfires all over the place and I'm sure you know the one that you want to go to tonight or indeed on Saturday night. What we have going on around town, other than fireworks, we've got the Totnes Cinema. We've got the COP26 daily briefing. something they've begun over these 2 weeks. And they have got an additional screening of the new Bond film tonight. So if you haven't yet seen it, you may be able to book tickets for that. At the Barrel House, I mentioned yesterday, Harbottle and Jonas, fantastic folk duo, Devon-based, who are playing tonight for £8. At the Ashburn Arts Centre, we've got Kate Westbrook and the Granite Band playing tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow night, we've got The Little Unsaid, who are an incredibly good band who actually have been on tour for a while now, and they're playing at Dartington Hall, in the Great Hall. It was going to be outside, but obviously it's a little bit cold these days. And they've actually released some more tickets. It was sold out, but I heard from Christian last night that actually there are some more tickets available now. Dartington Hall gave them permission, so that's £14 for 7:30 tomorrow night on Saturday. Other things on Saturday... something completely different. There's pizza and pottery at the Mansion, 4 Street, at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. So be into that. It's a £25 event where you can actually learn to create a pizza and actually do some pottery as well. That looks quite good fun. And then we get to, in the evening, the Barrel House. We've got the Mexican Night of the Dead, 8 o'clock. So that's continuing it's sort of Halloween stroke Guy Fawkes theme, really, isn't it? It's Mexican Night of the Day. £15 looks like a fantastic event there. And also at the Ashburton Arts Centre, we've got the Jonathan G Trio. So lots happening. Sunday, we've got Ashburton Arts, got the Riviera Ramblers. There's also, if you fancy something completely different, on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Angel, South Street, they're the Fundamentals of Meditation Workshop. So that's 10 in the morning at Angel, South Street. So there we go.
Thank you so much. So I just want to thank everybody that has contributed to the programmes that we've made in this month and just before, I think it was towards the end of September, wasn't it? We started. Just thanks for your lovely time and energy that you've put into the programme. And a special thanks to Martin Seeger for all of his time and energy and wonderful reports on what's on, the weather, traffic, and all the other loads of work that he does in the background for this show and all the jingles. Thank you so much, Martin Seeger. And to everyone really who contributed, Susie David, all her daily reports from Seaweedsville. So the goddess of the sea, Susie David, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for fantastic, fantastic reports there. And today, special thanks to Yusella Sims, who came on and made us laugh so much, but also about her commitment to the spoken word and also to getting the message out there about, you know, having a go. So we're going to leave you with a little bit of fireworks sounds, actually, and this is especially for pets. And that was a really top tip of Sarah Louise Connolly's to tune into Classic FM tonight and tomorrow night for the calming sounds for your pets. But you can also find pet sounds online in the form of fireworks, but actually just calming. Here they go. This is especially for all the pets out there, and lots of cuddles from us to them all. The biggest thank you is obviously to Chris and Lucinda for letting us run away with their airwaves, the woofers and the tweeters, and the entanglements of some crazy moments that were created, particularly Monday on the Halloween show. We will miss you, but I know we'll be back in the guise of a banana in the new year. So see you then, everyone. Have a great bonfire night.